Let's pray and we will jump into our closing lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you for these 11 weeks, and I pray that we would finish well tonight. We thank you for John and these letters. We thank you for the repetition, and we thank you for the truths that they contain. And Lord, we pray that we would go away different than when we started 11 weeks ago. We ask, Lord, that you would write these things on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a really common name. I don't know if you guys saw that map that was being posted on Facebook. I posted it because I thought it was hysterical, where if you clicked on it, it would show you the most popular name for a particular state. It was a map of the United States, and so you would click on it. It started in 1963, and then it would scroll all the way through to present times to see which names had been the most popular. And so it starts out, you know, with like Lisa in the 60s, and then it hits 1972, and for a period of 8 years, all 50 states say Jennifer, 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 Jennifer for like eight years in a row. The whole map was all Jennifer all the time. So I've never, yeah, that's right, represent, right? So I have never been in a room practically where there was not another Jennifer there. And the last place that I worked, when I worked at the last church I was at in Houston, one of my fellow staff members, his wife was named Jennifer, and so he would occasionally, I would get these emails that would say, hey, could you stop by the store and pick up, you know, like milk and butter on the way home? And I'd be like, hey, Scott, it's not, hey, you know, this wrong Jennifer. But you know, half the time I'd be expecting it to be a word. I'd be like halfway through going, what is happening here? Before I would realize what was really going on. And then I've had the same thing happen in my current job, even though I've gone from Jennifer to Jen, because you know that was really going to make me stand out among the sea of Jennifers. There's a Jen where I work now. And so she gets a ton of emails of people saying, oh my gosh, I love your Bible studies. Where can I find the audio? And I get requests for, hey, can you get tables set up for me here with tablecloth? And I'm like, am I supposed to know this? Like, did someone forget to tell me that this was part of my job description? So it takes you a minute to figure out you're reading someone else's stuff, right? Like, have you ever gotten your mail and been going through it and opened something and been reading it and be thinking, this is really weird, I can't figure it. And then you realize it was like your neighbor's mail that got stuck in your mailbox. And then you're like, now I have to take it over torn open like a criminal. It's a federal offense to open someone else's mail. So it can be a really weird thing, you know, and it takes you a second to be like, hey, wait a minute, this was not meant for me. But we've gotten to spend the last 11 weeks reading someone else's mail. And guess what? It was every bit as much for us as it was for John's original readers. Every bit as much for us, even though 2,000 years later, it was still so much the same message that we need to hear. We needed to know that John had seen him and heard him and touched him. We needed to know, I know him. We needed to know that God is light. We needed to think about that because the world that we live in 2,000 years later is every bit as dark as the world into which John spoke those words originally. We need to know that God is light and he has overcome the darkness. And we needed to know, every bit as much as his original hearers, that Christ is our propitiation. We needed to know that he was a satisfying substitute, that the debt is settled. We needed to know that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's mail we needed to receive. And we needed to know that when we want assurance of our faith, there is a way to have it. And the way that we can be assured that we have faith is that we will love the commands of God, that we will love the people of God, and we will love the truth of who God says that he is. We needed to reflect on what agape love was. We needed to think about a love that sets aside any concern for self, and that focuses all of its efforts on others, expecting nothing in return. We needed to know that there are those who love to put themselves first, and there are those who will put themselves last, and that we need to imitate these people and not these. We needed to know that we could have confidence approaching the throne, because often we don't. We needed to know that our account was settled and that we had someone who interceded for us, who was willing to stand next to us and say, because of what I've done, she has a voice with you. We needed to know that though the commands of God are difficult, they are not burdensome. That's a good thing for us to think about. We needed to know that the water and the blood and the Spirit testify to the truth of who God is, and we needed to know what that meant to them and what it means to us. We needed to think hard about what it means to pray according to God's will. We needed to have an adjustment because just as 2,000 years ago, people wanted to manipulate God, so today we do as well. And we needed to learn, just as they did, that we can rest in the character of God and trust that he can run the universe just fine. And that if we bring our prayers to him, he will align our will with his so that when we pray what he would want us to pray. We needed to understand what it means to walk in both truth and love in our most difficult relationships, every bit as much as his original hearers. We needed to know how to deal with friction inside and outside of the church. We needed to know how not to cause it as well. And I love that when John takes on all of these difficult topics in these three short letters, that he does so always within the context of calling us little children, of calling us brothers and sisters, and my favorite, of calling us beloved. Did you notice that there were 5 times in 1 John that he addressed us as beloved? And then in that teeny tiny book of 3 John, he said it 4 times. 4 times in the book of the Bible that contains the least number of words, he worked in beloved. But that's not really a surprise if you think about it, because who understood what it meant to be beloved better than the disciple whom was beloved by Jesus? So he understands what it is to speak truth in love to those who he calls beloved as brothers and sisters. And so John's testimony to us, writing these letters at the age of, what do we think, 90, 95, is that we should abide. And it's a message that we can hear from him because the fact that he is still saying this to us at 95 tells us that he himself has done so before us. He has abided. I was thinking this week, did you guys happen to see, everybody was posting about, oh, Billy Graham's final address is going to be on. And everybody was sharing it on Facebook and saying, hey, we should watch this, and it's going to be on TV at this time, or here's the link to the video afterwards. And I admit that when I saw the link, the first thing I thought was, oh my gosh, I wonder what he's going to say. Which was a ridiculous thing to wonder, wasn't it? He's 95 years old. There has never been a video of which the contents could have been more certain. You know why? Because at 95, he's got the same message he had at 25. Friedrich Nietzsche, he was a philosopher, German philosopher. He was not a believer, but he hit on an important truth. You know what he said? He said that the life that's worth living is characterized by a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. Billy Graham has had a long obedience in the same direction. He took seriously the commands found in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the Gospel of John, the rest of the Bible, that we should walk in truth, that we should walk in the commands of the Lord, a long obedience in the same direction. I think that's a really good definition of what it means to abide. And when we look at the life of John, guess what? We see the same thing. He's the last one of the apostles. He knows what happened to the rest of them. So not only has he had a long obedience in the same direction, he has had a long obedience in the same direction as people fell to his left and his right. But he stayed the course. So it is not surprising that at the end of John's life, his message is much the same as what it would have been at the beginning of his life. Because that's what a long obedience in the same direction looks like. We preach Christ crucified. I want to be like that. I want, if I'm given 95 years, to be saying the same thing then that I'm saying now, but to understand it at a deeper level with every passing year and to grow more passionate about it with every year that goes by, that at the end of my time on earth, no matter how long I'm given, someone will look and say, that was a long obedience in the same direction. That's abiding. That's what John would say to us. So I wish I could have been in your discussion time because I would have loved to have heard your answers to the question of what attribute of God most jumped out at you in this study. I just would have loved to have known kind of what it was that really stuck with you guys. And I almost felt like a hypocrite because I talked so much about how people say God is love and they take that so lightly and, you know, they mean it in ways that it doesn't mean. Because at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but the one that just jumped out at me the most was that one. That his love for us is so unlike any human love that we experience. And so every week at the end of your lesson, I always ask you, what was the attribute of God that jumped out the most? And then you're supposed to fill in that statement, knowing that God is this means that I should be, that I am this. Knowing that God is agape shows me that I am human love. And then how am I going to live differently in light of that? So you could walk away from this study one of two ways. You could walk away saying, you know what, I'm just going to gut it out. I'm going to try harder to place myself second. I'm not going to be Diotrephes. I'm going to be the good guys. I'm going to be Gaius, and I'm going to place others. I'm going to be good at hospitality. I'm going to gut it out through Thanksgiving or whatever goal that you've set for yourself. You know, even if it involves a small medicinal bottle that I carry around or whatever it needs, you know, no, don't do that. You may have told yourself, I'm going to try harder to walk that obedience in the same direction. And just please remember that you can't pull it off by your efforts. And that's not what the Lord asks you to do. He asks you to behold who he is and then to imitate that. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. Because it's a joyful thing, right? When you look at him and you see, that's what agape looks like. I want to do that. The way I think about this is, I have a brother who's an engineer. His job is hard, and he's really good at it, and he works really hard at it. But he wouldn't do anything else because he absolutely loves it. And I think that's what abiding is. It's knowing that we've been called to the best thing and the hardest thing. But it's because of the one that we gaze on that we want to pursue it at all. You ever heard that phrase, we become what we behold? That's what we want. We want to behold him. Whatever it was that jumped out of this study at you, was it that God was eternal and that you're bound in time? Was it that God is faithful and that your faithfulness is just so broken? Was it that God is just and that you want vengeance instead of justice? Was it that God is righteous and that you have habitual sin that you just can't put away? Don't lose sight of the fact that you can't just make yourself better. You got to behold him and cry out to your propitiation and then pray according to the will of God. Lord, make me like you. And then, yeah, you got to try really hard. Because a long obedience in the same direction, while it is not burdensome, it is difficult. So what is it? What will you walk away from this study with? What is it that the Lord has shown you through this semester? And it's so interesting to me because it's been such a repetitive, you know, like you got your colored pencils out and you just colored the heck out of your notes until you're like, no more, lady, don't make me color another word. What is it? Which of those words just kept hitting you and hitting you? We didn't cover a lot of ground in terms of real estate in the Bible, but man, did we cover a lot of ground in terms of holiness. And so my prayer for you as we break for the holidays, my prayer for you is you now have some time to just sit and soak in what has gone on for the past 11 weeks. Is that the Lord would show you how that obedience can be walked out, that he would teach you more and more how to abide. A long obedience in the same direction. I think we would like a short obedience. Can I get a witness? But the Lord does not call us to do what he does not equip us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 11 weeks. We thank you for these short books that are so packed with things that we need to know. I pray, Father, that you would break our hearts over the sins that continue to rear their heads. The ones that we say, Lord, I know that I have a new heart, but I keep doing this again and again. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to trust you and to cry out to you. And Lord, we thank you for the example of John, who lived a long life saying the same things. We thank you for a life that both showed evidence of obedience in actions and certainly in words. We ask, Father, that we would be imitators of John and imitators of the one that he called beloved. Teach us to abide in the place that is the safest place for us to abide, in your truth, in your love, and in your light. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed to have crazy snack time. Please don't feel like you have to rush off.